Welcome to the second segment of Meet the Community here this morning on AM 1340 KXCO. Mr. John Fortney, the superintendent of the Van Fars School District, our guest. We kind of talked a little bit about you moving from the Van Fars School District at the end of this school year, where you grew up at. We didn't really talk about college. Where did you go to school at?
So I went to Hamilton College, got my bachelor's degree there in anthropology, was a football player and a track kid, enjoyed both, had a lot of fun with that. Wound up then kind of went had to go back to school to get my teaching degree. So actually I have a master's degree in sports psychology. Before I got my master's, I was an alternative certification. So I did not do the traditional path. So anybody that asks, is it possible? Absolutely it's possible. I'm living proof. I've never student taught. I feel I have apologized to the first year group of students that I worked with because I don't know how effective I was as a teacher, but obviously I grew. There was a time period when Missouri had a program called the Transition to Teaching Project, and they were taking people that had bachelor's degrees, and it was grant-funded, and they were paying for you to get certified. And so you paid for your books, you paid for your fees. Why I was paying for Mizzou weight room fees when I was living in Rolla, I have no idea, but whatever. So we would do classes, and it was interesting because it was probably one of the first experiences of distance learning. We would be at like Union, Missouri or Rolla campus or whatever, and the professor could be in Springfield or in Columbia, and we were learning on a TV. So we would go, there'd be live bodies in this classroom and four classrooms around the state. And so that was a three-year project and got certified and taught.
Was he closed circuit or this was pre-recorded?
Was closed circuit. It was live TV.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
You were just no more like today, do it online, but no, they'd hook up a connection some way. I don't know how the technology worked, and you had a live video feed. You could interact and ask questions, and the professor would monitor classes and proctor tests and things like that. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
Had to turn your work in, and they would collect it and send it off, but I think it was the early precursor of, you know, of distance learning.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I'll
tell you, it wasn't clean. And for a kid that grew up in schools and with parents that taught you to ask questions, it was difficult. So I went and got my master's in sports psychology because I never, ever wanted to be an administrator. I thought that was the dumbest job on the planet. I can laugh about that now. And I was a coach. I know we'll get into history of stuff. So
football coach, right?
Football and track.
And track.
I coached wrestling a little bit. I've been a swim coach. I did whatever. I was a head swim coach for a private club in St. Louis for a little while. Whole different story, another day. But I was a track coach that coached football, not a football coach that coached track, if that makes sense, because it's a different mindset. I had great success working with kids, but coaching with track, we had a lot of great opportunities. I had a kid finish up number two in the nation in the shot put. Nike paid for us to fly out for the Nike Outdoor National trip. I got to spend a week at the Olympic Training Center as an emerging elite throws coach just prior to the Beijing Olympics. So I got access to a lot of really cool stuff because of track. And football provided a lot of opportunities to do a lot of really cool high energy adrenaline based stuff. So we kind of went from there. But no, it was reached a point where I had an administrator, a guy named Dr. Ryan Sherp, who's still the head principal at Fox High School in Jefferson County, told me I needed to go get my master's in administration, and I did. And actually, I wound up getting my specialist, which is what you need in Missouri to be a superintendent. And that taking those classes is where I got hit with the bug for administration because I could see the impact that was happening. I mean, I hadn't had phenomenal administrators until I met Ryan and the administrative team there, and I saw what a difference those folks could make. And then when you start taking classes and seeing that as a superintendent, how many more resources you have available. As assistant principal, you're still got somebody above you. And not to say that I don't have bosses, because I do. I'm still beholden to the board and to the community. But my ideas can take shape a lot faster than they do as a building principal.
No doubt. How do you land in Van Fort? I'm curious. You know, you're all over these great places, and then now... How does the superintendent's position become available at Van Fort?
So I came to Van Fort from Monroe City. I was the high school principal at Monroe City. A man named Tony DeGrave was superintendent at Van Fort and was also a Monroe City graduate and football coach and everything up there. So Tracy Bottoms is the superintendent in Montgomery County. Great man. Was my superintendent at Monroe City, which was one of the reasons that I selected Monroe when I went there. Tracy had the opportunity to go to Montgomery and make a move in his life. And then in that process, I wound up applying. Actually, I had three interviews. I applied to Marion County, Salisbury, and then Van Farr. And then Van Farr was the one that said, okay, we want you. So Tony, Tony and I basically swapped, although I came as high school principal into the superintendency, and he moved back up to Monroe. So I started July 1 of 2020, about 3 months after the pandemic began.
Oh, my goodness.
With a school district that also went from a five-day week to a four-day week. So you want to talk about drinking from the fire hose.
Uh-huh. There's no doubt about it. And I want to get into that conversation, too.
Sure.
There's been a lot of debate around the state about a four-day week versus a five-day school week. A lot of people are very passionate that it's got to be 5 days and not 4 days. But in a four-day week, and I'm not advocating for either one, but in the four-day week, you have just as many instructional hours as you do in a five-day week. From your personal perspective, which is the best way to go, a four-day week or a five-day model? Because you're going to go from four-day into five-day in your new job.
I think the biggest – there's merit to both, right? Of all the school districts that have gone to a four-day week, my understanding is only one school district has gone back. So most people that go to it stick with it because – you know, you could say recruiting and things like that. There's a benefit of being able to offer 3 day weekends to your staff, which is a benefit, you know. But there's also a day where things aren't happening for your kids, which I know is a concern with the state agency. Some districts have gone to like Monday Academy. We've done some of that where you can do some targeted research and things of that nature. The question that I would examine, and there's no real long-term study on the quality of 4 day week or 5 day week. They're still looking at those things. Is the quality of instructional time. The question that I would look at, and I'm not advocating either way. You know, the district has gone to a four-day week. We are 100% four-day week. I've seen both, and I think there's benefits. There's pros and cons to everything. I don't know if this – I wonder if the study might be better looking at the energy focal points of kids. Because a kid going to school for 8 hours that only can really stay focused for 5 or 6 is not benefiting from those things. It's very much the idea of like adding days on at the end of the summer, at the end of the school year because of snow days. Very transparently, we know we have to do that because the state tells us. And we try to do everything we can to ensure that we're getting high quality instruction. But you adding another day at the end of the year when the kids know that in 2 more days it's summer break. You're prolonging. State testing is done. There's all these things these hoops that have been jumped through, and we're no longer part of those things. It's over. And so trying to really, are we enriching? Are we remediating kids? I mean, there's a lot of conversations that I think that can be had around those kind of things. So I would want to look at and say, what are we doing to ensure we're having high-end quality instructional time, if that makes sense? So if a kid's brain shuts down at 2, and at Van Farr, we release at 3:40, what are we doing to ensure that kid's brain is engaged and active from that time period? And if we're not doing anything, then we need to have that conversation on how do we make those improvements happen. And so that's really when we look at the differences. A five-day week takes that same amount of time, but it just spreads it out. So we're more within that window. I'm not saying I'm an expert on that, but there are things that I would think about. And the other piece, too, is if you're on a five-day week, what are our incentives to retain and recruit staff? You know, a lot of school districts are using it. It's not the cost savings that people thought it was. When it first came out, it was we're not going to run buses, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. The savings is minimal. You can find those places in your budget to save money in other ways other than shutting your district down for a full day. But I think one of the other issues is what is happening on that fifth day.
Yeah.
You know, it for our staff, it's great for them to be away. They can take care of things. For a lot of communities figure out a way because they talk about being an undue burden for babysitting and for child care
and food
and all of that stuff. And the district, like for us, the district has responded. We've increased for our free and reduced lunch families. We've added an extra day worth of food so that way those kids are taking those things home. We have pantries that are available and trying to fill the gap, kind of being the just make sure that we're – You know, I used to watch SWAT a lot, so we try to stay liquid and fill the gaps when we can. So anybody knows that Netflix reference, I apologize.
No,
but the and so I don't know. It's a long answer for a lot of stuff, but I think there's a lot of things that you have to look at and see. Does it match up with the community? Do you have those kind of opportunities? I probably would be less inclined to be a 4-day guy if we lived in a bigger city,
mm-hmm.
because there we would have access to more things. It's difficult for our residents and our community to get access to things. I mean, big hospitals are 30, 35, 40 minutes, hour and a half, depending on where you're going, getting access to specialized care. I mean, there's just a lot of things that being able to provide that extra day where a kid's not having to worry about missing school is great. The only downside is I'm starting to see more businesses being closed on Mondays, which is when we're off,
yeah.
which only exacerbates our problem because they're frustrated they can't get their Monday thing done and they still have to miss another day.
Well, you know, I used to own a business and they always said going into it, Tuesday is your worst day for commerce, mm-hmm. no matter what. But the argument is that you're preparing kids to go into the workforce, and most places do 5 days a week. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of businesses are going to a 4-day model more and more since the pandemic. But as I say, that's just a sidebar. Well,
yeah, and you see the remote learning, you know, when we're done with school, and you're seeing a lot of jobs that are going remote. More and more jobs are doing hybrid type models where you're working at home and you're working in the office. And so I think it's hard. The education is due for a pretty big paradigm shift. You know, with the number of battles that we're facing just from the political landscape, I think there's an opportunity to really modernize a lot of the things that we have going on. But we have to do it collectively. It's not an us versus them. It very much has to have the team mentality type of piece. And we're also talking about trying to educate kids with books that are 10 years old and technology that is 5+ years old, and you know, we're wanting kids to be ready to use the iPhone 17 or whatever's out now, but we're teaching them on the iPhone 3,
right.
and until we can fill that gap, we're playing catch up a lot of the ways, and it's hard, and we're so hell bent on trying to we talk about this idea of accountability, but right now a lot of that accountability feels like gotcha accountability. Not true accountability. Not listen, I'm unhappy with where we're at, but let's work together to make things better. It's the you screwed this up, and
yeah,
you've got to be the person to blame. And so we've gotten away from the village.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that we've done. I feel like we're doing a great job at Van Far as we're bringing the tribe back together.
No doubt. I tell you what, we'll get ready to take our second break here, but you know, kids get held accountable with those report cards. I know that was always a tough time for me bringing those home, but this week, Missouri school districts are getting their report card. We're going to come back and talk about Van Far's APR here in just a moment. This is Mr. John Fortney, the superintendent of the Van Far School District, is our guest on Meet the Community this morning on KXEO.